Angel moms testify to Congress, Joe Biden. Kamala Harris are responsible for the deaths of our children. By John Binder on September 10, 2024. Angel moms whose children were poisoned by fentanyl and murdered at the hands of illegal aliens testified before the House Judiciary Committee and blamed President Joe Biden and Vice President Kamala Harris for the loss of their loved ones. Ant Fundner, whose 15-year-old son Weston was poisoned by fentanyl in February 2022, told the committee that her son's death is one of many devastating consequences of the Biden-Harris administration's open border policies. Weston, like many teenagers, wanted to fit in. During his second semester of his freshman year of high school, at the early age of 15, in a moment of heavy peer pressure, he made a tragic mistake, Fundner said. He took something that a new friend gave to him. It wasn't what he was told it was, and instead, it only contained the lethal poison, illicit fentanyl. She continued. On February 27, 2022, our world was shattered. That morning, my husband found Weston lifeless in his room. Weston's whole future, all of our hopes and dreams for him, were stolen in an instant. The Biden-Harris administration could have addressed this crisis. But instead, they have exacerbated it with their open border policies. Vice President Harris, appointed to manage the border situation, has failed to act meaningfully and only recently visited the border, and that was for political reasons. Joe Biden, Kamala Harris, and every Democrat who supports these open border policies are complicit in the deaths of 300,000 innocent Americans, including my son, Weston. Since this administration took office, 300,000 sets of parents have had to bury their children. Fundner said that though Harris was appointed by Biden in 2021 to manage the issue at the southern border, she has done nothing to address the problem, only allowing it to worsen. Noting that fentanyl poisonings are now the leading cause of death among Americans 18 to 45 years old. I hold Joe Biden and Kamala Harris directly responsible for my son's death. Their open border policies have led to this devastating crisis, Fundner said. Alexis Nungare, whose 12-year-old daughter Jocelyn Nungare was raped and murdered allegedly by two illegal aliens from Venezuela who were released into the United States interior by the Biden-Harris administration, told the committee about the morning she discovered what happened to her child. On Monday, June 17, 2024, I received the worst news any parent can receive. My daughter, Jocelyn Nungare, was murdered and thrown in a bayou of water underneath the creek like she was garbage, Alexis said. On the Sunday night before that, I went to bed. I told my daughter Jocelyn goodnight and told her I loved her. She was there when I closed my eyes that night. Then that Monday morning when I opened my eyes, she was gone. She was a preteen, months away from becoming a teenager, out doing what teenagers do. Going to the corner store to get a soda. She was being preyed on by two illegal Venezuelan immigrants. They saw an innocent young girl and made her a target for their horrendous actions. That Monday morning, June 17, 2024, was absolutely terrifying, waking up to know your child is missing and frantically searching the area. Her phone was pinging, just 2 minutes away from our home. Driving up to my daughter's ping location to see crime scene tape and officers by the bridge, my heart sank even deeper. I ran out of my car right to the officers, but they wouldn't let me get too close. I explained that I woke up to my daughter missing and her phone was pinging just feet away from where we were standing, frantically asking if they had seen her. The officer said he hadn't and didn't really have any news to give me. He took down all the description I could give him about my daughter Jocelyn and he told me to keep my phone nearby. Within 45 minutes, I received a phone call from Sergeant Oliver, asking me to come downtown to discuss my daughter's whereabouts. I'm still hanging on to hope that my 12-year-old daughter Jocelyn Nungare is still out there somewhere. Then, they brought me up to the floor labeled Homicide Division. My heart sank even more. I didn't know what to think, still hanging on to hope. After being taken to a room and speaking for half an hour about every minute I remember leading up to my last moments with her, to finally being told that they did find a body where my daughter Jocelyn's phone was pinging, followed by seeing the photo I showed Sergeant Oliver, that confirmed their suspicions and they did believe the Jane Doe body that was found under the bridge matches the picture I showed of my daughter, Jocelyn Nungare. My heart shattered in that exact moment. I felt like I was placed in an alternate universe, like reality wasn't real. I couldn't believe what was just told to me. Alexis said police detailed how the two illegal aliens allegedly strangled Jocelyn to death, removed her clothing from the waist down as they sexually assaulted her, and then threw her lifeless body under a bridge in a shallow creek. Later, Alexis said she found out about the two illegal alien suspects and how the Biden-Harris administration had released them into the U.S. interior despite there being available bed space to detain them in Immigration and Customs Enforcement, ICE, custody. The illegal immigrants were Johan Jose Martinez Rangel, 22 years old, and Franklin Pena Ramos, 26 years old. Both are from Venezuela, Alexis said. Border Patrol apprehended Johan Martinez near El Paso on March 14, but he was released that same day on an order of recognizance with a notice to appear. Border Patrol also apprehended Franklin Pena on May 28, also near El Paso. On that same day he was apprehended, a judge also ordered Franklin Pena to appear in court at a later date. There were over 300 detention center beds available. They could have had them detained until their immigration court hearings, but no. Because of the Biden-Harris administration's open borders, catch-and-release policies, they were enrolled in an alternatives to detention program. This meant they were released into the interior of the United States. It was not even a full 3 weeks later that they would take my daughter Jocelyn Nungari's life. They saw a young girl, my daughter Jocelyn, and placed a target on her without her even knowing. They asked her for directions and being the helpful young girl she was trying to help them. They were seen on videos at 12:57 a.m. on June 17 walking across the street, walking down by the bayou under the bridge. At 3:04 a.m., only the two illegal immigrants emerged. They were down there for 2 whole hours. I can't even fathom what was going through Jocelyn's mind knowing she was never coming back home. The amount of fear she was feeling in the last moments of her life being through that awful pain. Alexis said the Biden-Harris administration's open border policies are responsible for the death of my 12-year-old daughter. I'm here to use my voice and raise awareness of how broken our country has become with our open border policies, Alexis said. As a U.S. citizen, it shouldn't be a privilege to have safety in this country. It should be a requirement. My daughter should have been able to safely walk to the store without having to wonder if she was going to make it home or not. Because of these open border policies, I will never get to see my daughter start high school. Never get to see her go off to prom, never get to see her walk down the aisle to get married. Never get to see her have her own kids and never get to see her reach her dreams, all of it, gone, Alexis continued. Tammy Nobles, whose 20-year-old daughter Kayla Hamilton was murdered and raped by an illegal alien MS-13 gang member in Aberdeen, Maryland. In July 2022. Also spoke to the committee about the horror her daughter suffered as a result of Department of Homeland Security, DHS, failures at the border. On July 27, 2022, I received the worst news that a parent can ever get. That my newly 20-year-old daughter Kayla Hamilton was found deceased with injuries consistent with homicide, Tammy said. There are no words that describe the heart-wrenching, soul-crushing pain of losing your child so horrifically. Kayla was a happy and loving person. She loved life and God. She loved going to church and learning about Jesus and the Bible stories. She showed the world that being yourself was okay and you didn't have to follow everyone else. She was extremely ambitious and despite having autism, she was determined to make her way in this world. She loved animals, especially her cat Oreo, and cared about the homeless. Tammy noted how her daughter's killer, illegal alien Walter Javier Martinez, had crossed the border in March 2022 and classified as an unaccompanied alien child, UAC, and subsequently released into the U.S. interior. As an unaccompanied alien child, Martinez was granted access into the United States with no background checks or vetting. Homeland Security did not verify the sponsor and allowed Martinez to go live in Frederick, Maryland. There were behavior issues with him living with the sponsor and he ended up staying with his half-brother who lived in the same neighborhood mobile park as Kayla. Martinez was living there less than 5 days before he violently and brutally murdered my daughter, Tammy said. Walter Javier Martinez broke into Kayla's room while she was sleeping that morning. Kayla left a voicemail on her boyfriend's phone. According to the voicemail, a struggle was going on and Kayla can be heard crying, groaning, and struggling to breathe. Martinez can be heard on the voicemail hushing her and near the end telling her I'm sorry in Spanish while strangling her with her phone cord. After she was deceased, Martinez tied her up and sexually assaulted her. This was confirmed by the anal swabs that matched Martinez's DNA. Kayla fought for her life that day. She had bruises up and down her arms, her fingers, the left side of her face, her back and down her leg, and deep wounds to her neck from the cord. Local police knew right from the beginning he was the main suspect just by their initial investigation. It took the Aberdeen police to confirm that Martinez was a known gang member of MS-13 and that Martinez had a criminal record in El Salvador in 2020. If Homeland Security did a background check, then they would have known this, and Martinez wouldn't have been able to be on U.S. soil. With Martinez being 16 years old, Maryland Child Protective Services took custody of Martinez until the DNA results came back. The Aberdeen Police Department was very transparent to CPS. The Aberdeen Police Department demanded that Martinez be held in a secure location because he was a threat to society based on the murder and injuries of Kayla Hamilton. It was later learned that Child Protective Services placed Martinez in a group home with other children and then placed Martinez in a foster home, which allowed him to be enrolled in high school. This was also confirmed by an investigative reporter with Fox 45 Project Baltimore, who got an actual confirmation from Edgewood High School. While in jail, a letter was intercepted that Martinez wrote confessing to 4 murders and 2 rapes. Martinez ended up pleading guilty and taking the plea deal of 70 years. Since he was a juvenile at the time, even tried as an adult, Martinez couldn't get life without the possibility of parole. Tammy is now suing the Biden-Harris administration in a wrongful death suit. She blames the administration for her daughter's murder. "The Biden-Harris administration is not putting the American citizens' safety first," Tammy said. John Binder is a reporter for Breitbart News. Email him at binder@breitbart.com. Follow him on Twitter here.